Hello, and welcome to Natural Geekery. This is a podcast that focuses on role-playing games, creativity, storytelling, and the flow that can happen when friends or strangers sit down with some dice, some rules, and decide to tell a story. We currently feature an actual play called Wild is Plus, where there is no GM, only two old friends using a few rules and creating a fantasy world and a story from random die rolls. My name is Brian. Welcome aboard. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Wild is Plus. And this is a podcast actual play where we basically improv a game session without a game master. We use a system called Mythic, and we are using Fate Accelerated for our character actions. And it kind of turns into a humble jumble bumble of improvisation between me and my co-host.
Bumble
who
bounce.
Is... Indeed, they do. And the wonderful, not bumbling Dr. Hip is joining me again. Hello, sir.
How do we do?
Good God. How much time do you spend thinking about what you're going to do for each of these intros?
I
don't want to know.
None at all. And whatever comes to me in the moment, I just do it.
Excellent. Excellent. That is in the spirit of Wild is Plus, correct?
Exactly. At least it wasn't a dire cave bear.
That's right. I'd rather battle Scooby-Doo.
All you have to do is give him a Scooby snack.
A Scooby snack. All right, everybody. Hello, hello. We are getting ready to kick this off. We have had a pretty eventful couple of episodes. Last episode was pretty down and chill. Our chaos factor is at a lovely 4. Heck, it might even be a 3 at this point. Before I go any further, let's discuss that. I think it may have dropped to a 3. That's the lowest it can go.
Absolutely.
Given the events.
Actually, I think so. The only thing that would work against
it. We can ask Mythic when we start. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay, before we get any further, previously on, once again, as has become a new tradition, I just pretty much make this up on the fly. Feel free to jump in, Dr. Hip, if I miss anything. And I'll
be listening.
Oh, okay, please. Please. Hold me to those standards. Our Wildest Plus standards.
Well, there we go.
Here we go. Perfect. All right. Previously on Wildest Plus, our two heroes, Hazo Quickbolt, the Gnome Ranger, and Luden, the Paladin of Sadara, members of the Drachenfeld Surveyors Guild, have ventured out into the Outlander camp, the Sabertooth Tribe of the Outlanders, to give its leaders the Claw of Skokul, and also to inquire about the black dragon that was sighted, Skokul. That's the black dragon's name. And to inquire about how it is affecting the prophecy that says all the tribes of the Outlanders will unite under Skokul. That has gone pretty well. We saved some tribe members from a dire cave bear attack. We attended some ceremonies, including a raucous party, and we got invited to partake in the Rite of the Cave, where we ingested hallucinogenics, and each of our characters went through a bit of a trial or an interesting vision.
Huh?
yeah, right? We're still saying that. Wherein last episode, Hazo was able to relieve himself of burdens that have been bothering him for 10 years or more with the death of a fellow adventuring friend. And Luden got sick. And from the ingestion of the alcoholic, what was it? The woolly rhinoceros
mash.
Yeah, the woolly rhino mash and then the hallucinogenics. It didn't sit with him too well, so he was sick. And that is where we are. It is the day after the Rite of the Cave. Morning has passed. Most of the afternoon is done. And our two heroes are gathering to talk to Gratha one last time before they set out for the ruins on the next morning.
I think that sounds really good. There's only one thing I thought of. And that was that there was some kind of an altercation.
Oh, that's right.
With the between the two tribes that is going to delay their alliance ceremony.
Yeah, yeah. And that's an excellent point, Dr. Hip. And a group of that tribe had come, and they were part of the festivities. That's one of the reasons why the party happened.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, they were supposed to have a unification ceremony on this particular day. But that's not going to happen now because there was something, some sort of altercation, some sort of, I am guessing, some sort of ego-based conflict between the Tribe of the Dragon and the Tribe of the Sabretooth Tiger Clan. So we could ask Mythic those questions real quick before we get started and just kind of, do you want to parse that out?
Yeah, let's build up this new scene.
Yeah, okay. So the there's tension in at the encampment for sure. The two tribes are separated. There are talks ongoing. Can we just ask, is the altercation settled, or will the altercation take more time to settle?
Okay.
Does that work?
I think that's a good one.
All right. So we roll. I roll a D10. Dr. Hip rolls a D10. If we score an 11 or higher, then it is a yes. And then there's also some things in the rolls that can determine an exceptional yes or no, as well as random events. We'll get to that if it comes up. All right.
Before we roll that, should we roll if chaos has gone down to 3?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that first. That's a good call. Good call. Okay. Hey, Mythic. Our fictional spectral GM. Did the chaos factor go down to 3? Do we want to give it any pluses or minuses? Or do we just roll
50-50?
I hear you. All right. Did it go down to 3? I got a 10.
7.
Okay, 17. So it did. We are at chaos level 3.
Perfect.
Can we just take a moment and breathe in the low chaos factor in the year of 2020 in this little audio space, this little audio fantasy world we've created? Let's just sit here. Let's sit here in this chaos level 3 for a moment. And
I hear a gently babbling brook and a warm sunshine. Yes, and
the warm sunshine of the arid steppe climate that these outlanders are camped in, and crackling fire and peaceful wind,
sunset,
clouds. Okay, all right, moving on. back to what we're talking about. That was nice, though. That was really nice.
It was so pleasant.
I hope our listeners enjoyed that. They can just go back in.
Fresh air.
Fresh air in 2020.
Replay.
Is that too meta? Okay. Okay, let's...
Would we say, will the altercation...
Or will the unification be delayed? Or
yeah, that's right. That's
will
right.
The will the altercation need to be worked out further?
Okay.
Yeah, let's just do that. Okay. 50-50?
Yeah.
Okay. I got a 2.
4.
4. Oh, my. That's a 6. However, those are both even, so we do have to roll our chaos factor. Do you want to roll?
You roll the first one, then I'll take the next one.
And we'll see what happens. All right. And I rolled a 7, so no problem there. We don't have to worry about that. But it is a no.
So that means it must be getting close to being worked out? Is that what we're supposed to
do? Well, it's still being worked out. It's not going to happen while we're here. It'll probably happen when we leave.
Okay.
After we leave in the morning to go to the ruins. You know, before we set this scene with Grotha, let's take a moment to talk about the ruins and why we're going. It's been a couple episodes, and I kind of want to hammer that out if you're cool with it.
Let's do it.
Okay. So we had originally come here to check on the Outlanders to see what had happened. We had heard that there had been some sort of altercation with them and possibly the Shadow Fae. That's what the head of the Surveyors Guild had told us, and he handed us this claw to take to them. We think he may have known that it had been a major gift because he's trying to get in their good graces because he feels that the prophecy could come true, that the barbarians mm-hmm. are going to unite and they're going to become a powerful presence in the Drachenfeld area. That's some recap.
It makes sense. And we want to be allies with them, right?
Right.
Instead of the enemy. So this is our foot in the door.
And so far, we're doing a really good job of that. And when we got here, but we also, we wanted to, the Drachenfeld Surveyors Guild sent us out to get a chance to learn more about these ruins that had been reported, because in a previous, in our test game, the little test game we ran just between the two of us, on Luden's side of thing, there was a person that had come back to Drachenfeld. They had found a new set of ruins, and they had found an artifact, or they had brought something with them. And that was kind of, Luden was bringing them to the Drachenfeld Surveyors Guild, and there was notice of a new ruins being found. So we were being sent out in hopes that the Outlanders knew where those ruins were because of reports that the Surveyors Guild had heard. Am I missing anything? I don't think I'm missing anything so far. So
no.
We get there, and we basically ask the chief and Grotha the shaman, can we go see these ruins? And they said, sure. You know, you saved our people from the dire cave bear attack. You've given us this gift. We will let you know where the ruins are. We're going to give you one of our people, Rarsta, who's one of the people that saved from the dire cave bear attack, the half-orc. She's going to go with us to kind of guide us to the ruins. However, we got run out of there because of the Shadow Fae.
By the way,
this is a huge recap for folks that have been listening all this time, but we're trying to like bring a cohesive moment here because I think this is sort of we're at a moment where we're getting on to, like, moving on to almost to a new part of the story. And so we're going to the ruins as Drachenfeld Surveyors Guild. Cool. Here's the question. That's what all this lead up was for. Why? Are we going to explore? Are we going to loot the place? Are we going to survey it like that Surveyors Guild? I mean, but what do you think? Like, let's have a discussion about that.
Well, Luden's quite a looter as a paladin. So I expect he's going to fill his pockets as soon as he can. Okay. Well,
I'm sorry. My mood.
No, it's good. No, I think it's obvious to a certain degree to me that that's why we're going, is to explore, to find out about other cultures, more anthropological or archaeological. Like what kind of civilization was here? What was their life like? What artifacts are there that might, or, you know, what was the design of the place like? I mean, Hazo is a lore hound. That's one of his aspects.
Absolutely.
He wants to learn about the previous cultures. That's just one of the things that drives him on. So he's really excited about that aspect. It's not about what can we find that we can take back of value,
right?
Necessarily, but everything has value about the place. It's the discovery of a new ruins.
I think we had said back in the earlier episodes that there were ruins that were being found, but a lot of them, like they've been found, they've been looted. There hasn't been a whole lot to find once the Surveyors Guild gets there, unless they come across a new one, like what we have just done. So we're kind of getting first dibs. Now, the Outlanders have been there. We don't know how long, probably a little while. I think we're going to find out in the next scene. But we're basically getting to go into this place new for the first time by somebody that isn't an Outlander, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it also begs the question, who made these ruins? What was this civilization? Who were they? What were they? We don't know. We have no idea, so we're going to have to figure that out at some point.
Anyway, hello, world building.
Yay, world building. It's so much fun. Okay. It is. So I think that gives us some momentum. We know we have a focus. We're getting ready to go check out this place we've never been before, that people in the civilization of Draken Falls and the surrounding area they've never seen before. So that's pretty exciting. That's cool.
It is cool.
All right. So let's set this scene. The scene is the evening of the day after the party and the Rite of the Cave. We talked a little bit before the show started that we're going to talk to Gratha. Each of our characters has some things we want to discuss with Gratha if we can get time to see her and have a little discussion with her or just ask some questions and answers. We don't necessarily have to role play it, but we want to work out a couple bits in this scene before we leave for the ruins in the morning. So I see the scene being Gratha's tent. We basically asked to talk to Gratha, and the scene is going to take place in Gratha's tent, and it's a discussion and information session with her and whoever else might be there. Do you see any changes to it or anything else before we roll chaos and see if that's actually what happens?
No, that makes perfect sense to me.
Okay. All right. So chaos factor 3. And so we roll. Do you want me to roll this one, the chaos factor? If we roll the chaos factor, if it rolls under 3, then the scene could be changed in some way.
Go ahead.
Okay. Leaving it all up to me. All right. I got a 4. Woo! Dodge the bullet.
Sweet.
Okay, so the scene occurs as normal. That's awesome. So Gratha is probably going to be a lot of yes-no questions here, so get ready to roll. The scene's going to take place in her tent. Let's ask this. Are there, I don't know if it matters, but are any of her assistants here? Is it just her? Is she alone? First question.
Okay.
Is Gratha alone? I got a 3.
7.
Okay, that's a 10. So that's a no, but according to our little system that we garage kitted. It's also 2 odds. So let me roll chaos real quick while I got it here. That's a 5. We're good there. So no, but. So she's not alone, but she probably at some point will send them away. Probably a couple assistants are here, other people that are in shamanic training. Okay. So who wants to go first character-wise? Hazo, you want to take this? You want to go first? You want Luden to go first?
Sure, I can do it.
All right, kick it off.
I mean, Hazo's big mission is, well, during the afternoon, after he made his little cairn and said goodbye to his friend, mm-hmm. he made a little carving, a little simple, rough wooden carving of a wolf with a little gnome on the back. And so he wants to come up to Gratha and just say, offer thanks. Thank you so much for allowing us to do this right at the cave. It has helped me immensely, and I feel lifted, this burden lifted of this dark mood. It's unbelievable how much better I feel. And as a token of my appreciation, I wanted to give you this little carving to just mark the occasion.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very cool. Let's roll to see if she accepts. Hey, Mythic, does Gratha accept this gift? I'm going to give it a +2.
Okay.
At least a +2. I got a 6.
8.
Oh, wow. Okay. So those are 2 evens. So we have to roll chaos, but that is a yes. And I got a 7 on chaos. So yay.
Good.
No issues there. So she definitely accepts it. Yeah, I think she'd probably be pretty gracious about the whole thing and offer congratulations that everything worked the way it was supposed to, and that the rite of the cave is a powerful rite, and it is good to see that it has had its full manifestation upon you and what you needed to experience. Yeah.
Yeah, he just looks very appreciative, like almost to the point of tears. He's very moved. Like, yeah, this was a huge thing for him to be able to lay this guilt, regret that he's been carrying for 10 years with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
To rest, put absolutely. It behind him and move on.
That's a cool little scene. That's a cool scene. Luden will also greet Gratha. You know, I also, part of this scene that I'm seeing in my head is that it's not so formal. Like, we're sitting by the fire. There's like either water or some tea or something.
Tea is what I was thinking.
Yeah,
about.
Like tea with Gratha. And and she's also probably wanting to talk to us about a few things, we might want to roll for that, like to see what she mm-hmm. might want to ask us. We'll do that. Make a note in case I forget, but we'll let her join in on the conversation as well. But Luden is sitting there, and after Hazo says his piece, he will ask Grotha about his own vision, which was the pictograph cave, as we're calling it. We are going to still ask listeners to kick in a name for this cave. So feel free to contact us. The information will be at the end of the show. But feel free to contact us with any ideas of the name of this weird pictograph cave he saw in his vision. And he will talk about that a bit with Grotha and then go on to mention that he saw Skokul. And I would just like, if you would care to share with us, Grotha, what is the Outlander's connection to Skokul? Why is he so powerful to all of you? And I'm just asking because Skokul was in my vision. I have heard his voice twice now. And I just, it's a question that I had, and I hope you could help with that. And so I guess the mythic question is, we'll discuss this. Is that a fate character role as he's trying to work it out of her, or is this a mythic role? I'm leaning more towards a fate character role.
But, I believe so too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So as is our tradition, since it's a character role, go ahead and give me my overcome or what I need to roll. I mean, we could do this in a more of a long form way with Fate Extended, but I don't think it's necessary.
No, I think a one in this case, because you've proven yourself worthy.
Oh yeah, you know? That's true. We've gotten the badge, right? Like we got the merit badge with these guys. Okay. All right. So I need a one. I'm going to roll fate dice using my fate character. And that is a got a three. Almost a succeed with style. Cool. Well, awesome.
I think she's going to say something about that Skokul's been a long part of the tribal history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, you know, I'm having an idea. I think, you're laughing.
I was wondering what sound effect was going to come with that. An egg cracking.
Okay. So what if, well, I'll run this by. We can either work this out here or because we've worked out some of the barbarian's connection to Skokul. I could do like a little write-up of what she tells us, like the oral history of the barbarians and Skokul. And I could do that as like a separate episode, like a little short 20-minute episode. And maybe.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
You think? Like, I don't know. I'm throwing it out there, or we can do it here. Hey, Mythic, do we?
No, I think it would be better.
Tell us how to run our show. Okay. All right. I think that's what we're going to do. However, for this right now, she will talk about, she talks about how that Skokul is a figure from their past. It is a figure that has held great importance to the clan and to the Outlanders and kind of represents when they were a unified entity. Maybe. That's kind of what we've mm-hmm. gotten so far, right? In our backstory mm-hmm. stuff, in our behind the scenes work we've done. So he would get that information from her about how the barbarians are connected to Skokul. There's also going to be a conversation, which we had already covered, I think, in last episode, about how he wants to talk more about the ruins and about the trip there and what we need to know. Mm-hmm. I wanted to roll to see, is the pictograph cave along the way or nearby? Because she had said that it might exist. There was, I can't remember exactly. Yeah.
She said it definitely exists.
Okay, so we'll stick with that. So we need to know if it's near the ruins or on the way to the ruins.
Okay.
So he'll ask that question. But that's definitely a mythic question because we don't know.
Okay. You want to roll it
yeah,
now?
Yeah. What's the question? Is the pictograph cave...
Between here and the ruins?
Is the pictograph cave between here and the ruins? Yeah, on the way to the ruins. Okay, cool. That's good enough for me. Let's roll. I got an 8.
2.
2. That's a 10. That's a no but. Okay. I think this jives with what we had said earlier, but it's nearby. It's near to the ruins. It's near to the ruins site.
Yep.
Cool. Perfect. And those are two evens. So let me roll chaos real quick. I got another 4. Another close call. We're steaming along. Look at us go.
And what did you say you wanted to ask about things we needed to know about the ruins?
Well, I was wanting to know like how long they had been there. Like how long were they there? How did they find it? Things like that. I don't know if that's just a series of yes or no questions that we roll really quickly in order to keep things moving, or if we do like a detail check, or, you know, like a complex question kind of thing where we roll on the descriptor tables.
Yeah.
How long have they been there? How long were they in the ruins? Cause that's going to tell us how new the ruins are and how it came about. Because we had talked a little bit about some ideas about that, but I want to kind of let Mythic tell us exactly what's happened.
Yeah, maybe it would be easier to, instead of doing a detail check, to do a, like, timeline. Like, 1 is a year, 2 is a month.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow, okay.
3 is a week, or something like, I don't know, because I think a detail check is going to come up with... Not a quantified number. Loosely.
Well, let's no. I think we're onto something. Let's do this. Let's say, were they there longer than 6 months?
Yeah, that makes it quick and easy.
And then that cuts it down, and that'll tell us one way or the other. So 50-50, was the Outlander clan there longer than 6 months? I got a 2.
4.
Oh, 2 evens. Let me roll this real quick. Ooh, I got a fate check of a 2. So that's a no. And we rolled 2 evens. So a random event occurs. We almost made it. But it's definitely a no. So they were there. They weren't there longer than 6 months. They were there maybe. So let's just roll a d6. You got a d6 handy?
I do.
All right, roll it.
1.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay, so they were only there like a month before the Shadow Fae came. So this would be fairly new. So they just discovered it. So let's ask this real quick and then we'll do the random event. Did they just discover it? Did it open up somehow? We had talked about it maybe being in a hidden like a hidden canyon or something opens up, like there was a... So let's just ask, did they just discover it recently and had just settled? I think this is like a +2 at least. I got a 3.
9.
Oh, whew. Okay. 11, 3 and a 9.
12.
And that's a 2. Fate check of 7. So we don't have to worry about that, but we do have to do a random event. Okay. So they basically came across this area that was opened up. Something opened up. Either there was a landslide, the earth opened up, she would say, and our scouts discovered this opening, and it led to a hidden canyon that we followed, and then the ruins were back tucked away. Yeah, okay, that's really cool. Have you ever seen the movie Valley of Guanji?
No, I haven't.
Okay, it's all about cowboys and dinosaurs, but we won't get into it. But I keep thinking of like the Valley of Guanji with these ruins. Like you have to go back through this twisting, narrow canyon, and it opens up into this area where the ruins are. Okay.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. If you haven't checked out Valley of Guanji, boy, is it dated, but it is a fun ride. Okay. Let's do
random event.
Random event, sir. Let's see what happens.
Is it two dice?
We're gonna. It's a percentile dice to see. We're on the adventure focus table, so I think I hear dice. So you do the damage on this one.
Careful what you wish for.
I know, right? I'm nervous.
13.
Ooh. All it says on the action table is action, exclamation point.
Oh,
something's going to happen. All right. So we should probably roll on the action table and see what happens. And I'm going to, let's stick to the rule that if we don't have an instant thought on this, we just roll again. And we'll give it two or three rolls. And if we don't get it, we're not going to stall out. It's one of the, we just have to keep plowing through. The idea is to grab an idea and run with it instead of mulling it over too much. Okay, so we roll two percentile dice and we look at our chart that gives us two words that we put together. It's the action table. I've got a 53, which is adversity.
49, failure.
Adversity, failure. First thought that comes to mind is that the Twisted Fae assassin is caught or is noticed or seen slinking around the tents. That's the first thing that popped in my mind, but we don't have to go that way. What do you got?
No, I think that's really good.
That's the only adversity I could think of right now, except for maybe Skokul, but he's not really that adverse yet. Or Shadow Fae. It's either a Shadow Fae scout trying to keep an eye on him, or it's a Twisted Fae assassin. That's what I've got.
I think those are really good. I think it's better than my idea.
Well, let's hear your idea.
Well, my idea was that there was some hot kind of a ping on the Claw of Skokul, but the bag stopped it.
Oh?
Like they were trying to scry in or something, and somehow Grotha was able to pick up on it.
That's not bad, but what is the action? Because it's action, exclamation point.
You're like right.
Something happens. So we could run.
So I think yours is better. I think yours is better.
Okay. All right. So let's...
Like there's some motion outside the tent or something?
Something happens. No, this makes sense. The Twisted Fae would have sent someone in because they can't scry anymore.
Yeah.
So, and it is evening. Good idea. It's evening time. So it makes more sense that it's the Twisted Fae coming in to try and figure out where the Claw of Skokul is and what's going on. I like that. Let's just double check that with Mythic. Hey, Mythic is a Twisted Fae discovered slinking around the camp. I'm going to give it a +4 because I really like the idea and I don't want to come up with anything else. I got a 4.
7.
Woo! Okay. So we don't have to roll chaos because that is an odd and an even. So that is an 11, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that is a yes, but.
+4, so yeah.
Oh, no, yeah.
No, it's a 15.
Yeah, no, so we're good. Okay, so there is at this moment, there is a cry of alarm. The Twisted Fae has been noticed.
So much for our peaceful moment.
I know, right? I was trying. That's okay. I love it when this happens. Okay, so all we know is that an alarm goes up, and there's cries of alarm and shouting. And we may not even be that, we may not get that involved in it. We know that the Twisted Fae feed on fear, and they have powers similar to the Shadow Fae, and that they can teleport through shadows, and they probably have magic, and probably have some way of being invisible, but this didn't work for this guy. So that's where we're at. What happens next? Cries of alarm. Grotha would get up. We get up.
Yeah, how do we respond?
How does Hazo and Tomaska respond?
Well, I think we got to go out and see what's going on.
Yeah, we head out of the tent. So we go out of the tent. What do we see? Is the do they have the Twisted Fae spotted? Is that what you thought I was going to ask?
I thought you were going to say apprehended. Already,
apprehended, but... or let's say this: is there a conflict already in place?
That's good.
Okay. We'll say, we'll give it a +2. It is action. Okay. I got a 1.
3.
Oh, wow. So that's a 4. Yeah. Okay. So no. Quick chaos roll. Nope. So they don't. Is there more than one? Let's ask this. Is there more than one Twisted Fae? 50-50. I got a 4.
6.
10. That's a no, but. No, but there may be more coming. Huh? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, but there might be some more that's nearby.
Yeah, there's none right here, but there's some nearby. All right. So are they searching for the Twisted Fae? Like, they haven't caught them? Are they chasing the Twisted Fae? Yeah?
Yeah, I think a chase makes sense.
Chase. Ooh, a chase. All right. I got a 7.
9.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, there's that. Okay. So definitely, yes. Yeah. So they are, we rush out of the tent. Character-wise, let's switch this over to characters and kind of GMing things. Let's have the characters do a quick intelligence check to piece together what's happening. Let's just do a quick threshold, an overcome of 1.
Okay.
If that, in all the chaos.
Yeah.
Luden gets a 2, so he's made it.
And Hazo gets a 2.
Okay, perfect. So we get out there. We can pretty much, we see Outlander warriors rushing off to one side. There's yelling. There's cries that, over here, over here. And basically we probably see the tail end of the chase. Dun, dun, dun. Now I guess we go to character actions.
Well, they haven't apprehended him yet, right?
No. It's okay. A chase. It's a chase.
Go ahead. What's Luden going to do?
Luden takes off. Luden will, you know what? Take over real quick. Tell me what Hazo's. I'm thinking here. I'm looking at one of his stunts that I haven't gotten a chance to really use.
Well, I was thinking that, yeah, that Hazo might just jump on Tamaska's back and bolt off.
Oh, nice.
After this.
Okay. All right. Cool. Luden is going to use his detect evil stunt.
Ooh, awesome.
So it's +2 to notice page. With wisdom, strong concentrations of immorality or evil. And we've pretty much determined the Twisted Fae are evil, whereas the Shadow Fae are not necessarily. And it's up to 3 zones away. And then if detected, the aspect evil is now revealed on those individual objects, creatures, characters, or areas. So wisdom check. I get +2 to notice roll using wisdom. What's my threshold? What's my overcome? A 1, 2. What do you think? My wisdom is pretty good. I'll be going into this with a +3. What's it like to detect the evil of a single Twisted Fae?
I think 2's right.
All right.
I was trying to think of a reason to lower it, and I think 2's the sort of standard.
Yeah, let's make it complicated and difficult. Oh, hey, I like that. So that is a 4. So he gets it. So he's going to stop for a moment and sort of reach out and yell, over this way, and take off running in the direction where he can sense the evil. And that particular Twisted Fae now has the aspect evil revealed on it, which will become crucial if Luden wants to use his other stunt. Okay. Hazo takes off into the darkness, takes off.
Yeah, in the way you pointed.
Okay, all right. So how do we want to do this? In a chase, we usually do a series of rolls to talk through the chase, right?
Right.
And it's the first entity to get to 3, usually, I'm guessing. We'll just say 3 for speed's sake. So I think that works.
Well, if it is the shadow time, they can probably bamf from shadow to shadow.
Yeah, I think that's what's going on is he's bamfing.
Well, Luden would be able to kind of detect that probably too.
Yeah, so they've been spotted. They're bamfing and running and bamfing. So they're probably making better speed. I'm gonna give him a +1 already. And then they, I'm trying to figure out, because, how do we, let me think. Okay, so we're going to take a brief break while Dr. Hip and I try to make sense of this curveball the game system has just thrown us and try to kind of get our brains around it and then be able to move forward with a little bit more smoothly. I thought I'd take a minute to talk to you all about the show, what's going on, where we're at, and ways you can support the show. If you're listening to this on the scheduled date of broadcast, then welcome to December. Welcome to the finale that is 2020. Let's hope this isn't like a 4th of July finale where everything blows up at once, and more of like a subdued, nice sunset kind of finale. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for anyway. That's what my money's on. So we've made it, and congratulations. I hope everybody had a decent happy big lunch or dinner day and got to share it with friends or family or just was able to enjoy a little break from all the nuttiness. If you want to support the show, if you're curious how you can do that, probably the easiest way is to just share the show out on social media, leave a comment, leave us a good review. That helps and does wonders for us, and it helps broaden the reach of the show, and we just greatly appreciate it. You can also, if you want to just ask a question or leave a comment, you can contact us at naturalgeekery@gmail.com. We love getting emails and responding to them, so feel free to reach out there. The other way, it's down in the show notes. If you're feeling old-fashioned, you can send us a letter or a note down at our P.O. box, and you can let the U.S. Postal Service bring us a missive. And we love those. I'm a big fan of letter writing and wax seals and fountain pens. So if you want to write me on the show, feel free, kick it out. And the P.O. box is down in the show notes. So check that out. Probably the best and biggest way you could help support the show is take a look at our Patreon at patreon.com/naturalgeekery. That link is down in the show notes as well. We have a couple different tiers of support, and we have bonus episodes that go up. We are shooting for 6 in a year. We've already got 3, so we are well on our way. I'm sure we're going to go over that 6 easily. So be sure to check that out. There's going to be some things happening there as we wrap up the year and we go into January. So pay attention. If you're a regular of the show, we'll be talking about it as we get closer. And also, news coming up, our URL, naturalgeekery.com, the current WordPress page that we have, we are going to be moving. Dun, 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 dun. We are going to be keeping that same address, but we are moving over to PodPages, and it is such a slicker and nicer site. I love it. So keep a lookout for that. I would like to do it by the middle of this month. I'm still working out technical details and all that razzmatazz. But look forward to that. We'll have a blog option there. We'll have a whole bunch of other cool options there as well. So yeah, we will see you there. And that's about it. I hope you've enjoyed this show. I hope you're enjoying the story we're trying to tell. There is definitely more to come. And before I keep talking and taking up too much time, let's just get right back to the show, where I'm pretty sure by now we have figured out what we're doing next. Thanks everybody for listening. I'm glad you're here. And if you're a new listener, yeah, welcome aboard. All right, let's get back to the show. Okay, so we took a quick break to work out some mechanics and details of how we're going to get through this. So Luden is in the lead. He's using his Detect Evil to help track down the Shadow Fae, the Twisted Fae that's on the run. There is another Twisted Fae somewhere out there, with like a partner, due to that no or yet no but or yes but, whatever, that we came up with. So there's another one out there. They're working as a team. So everyone is chasing after the one that Luden, or the barbarians are chasing what they think is going on. Luden is following his Detect Evil. We also determined that the Twisted Fae probably can only use their shadow port function, where they bounce between shadows like 3 times a day, 4 times a day. And that this guy or gal has probably already used up most of those and is just on the run. So the first question before we get into the mechanics, we're going to do a chase basically. But the one question we need to ask is this one Twisted Fae going to its partner, or are they splitting up? So the question is, are the two Twisted Fae splitting up? I think that's the wiser action to take if I was GMing them, I would have them split up because that'll be tougher.
Divide and conquer.
Yeah, like they're gonna, yeah, they'll definitely split our forces. So
give it a +2.
Yeah, give it a +2. Hey, Mythic, are the two Shadow Face splitting up? I got a 10.
8.
Yeah, 18. That's like a yes. That's an pretty much the equivalent of an exceptional yes. I will roll chaos. Nope, that's a 5. So they are definitely splitting up. So we really, and Luden can really only track the one that he's detected, who is only 3 zones away. So here's how we're going to do the mechanics. The Twisted Fae is only one zone away. We're going to make a series of rolls to track the detection as Luden chases through. The Twisted Fae is at a challenge level 3. He's pretty tough. Like these guys, we wanted them to be pretty tough. Plus he has shadows on his side. So instead of a 2, we're going to give him a 3. Luden is going to roll against a 3 because due to Dungeons of Fate that we are using, which is in the show notes, by the way, the baddies never roll. So we're always rolling against their challenge rating. So we're going to give him a challenge rating of 3. Luden will have to beat a 3 with his sensing roll to chase after him. And the baddie, Twisted Fae, is already one zone away. So if he gets more than 3 zones away, Luden is going to lose the trail. Okay.
All right.
In addition, as Luden charges forward, Hazo is following him. So is Hazo.
Yes. Hazo and Tomasku would like to assist.
Okay. Okay.
And help Luden if we can. Work with him.
Okay. How does that look? What would you think? Like,
well, can we?
Because that'd be a help. +1. That gives Luden a +1, which is cool according to Fate rules.
We'll kind of be an extra set of eyes and ears.
Yeah.
And keep spotting where he is. Okay, so over here.
Yeah, like if Luden starts to lose it, Tomasco will like growl and like head a certain direction. Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, so here we go. We're going to make a series of rolls. Try and keep it as quick as possible. I need to beat a 3. He's using detect. He's already used the detect evil, so it's pretty much just his wisdom roll, which is a 1. So he's going to get a +1 from you. So he's at a +2. This is going to be close. He may have to use a fate point. Or maybe not that close. All right, so that's a 4. Okay, so that's enough. He's got 1 mark on the Twisted Fae. Okay. I would say they're pretty much even. Like, we're almost in the same zone.
Yeah, they've stayed in the same zone, one zone away or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, like everything's even. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, let's do that. The next roll. Oh, boy. Ooh. He missed the roll. That's a 1. As it bamps from shadow, like not bamps, but it's running through the shadows and it's hard to see. I could use a fate point.
But that'll only give you +2. You'd still just tie it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It would come with a cost or something or a complication basically, but it wouldn't be, would that be as, yeah, he's going to blow a fate point. He's going to blow a fate point to bring it to even, I guess. Is my math right on that? Yeah. With my roll was a 0. Mechanics.
Well, what, don't you get +2 on the roll?
Yeah. Well, I got -2 on the roll.
So we're at zero.
Yeah. So he's going to actually fail that.
Yeah. And then, so let's say he gets one zone away.
He gets one zone away. Right? Okay. Yep. So I don't want to get too far away from the camp either. We are running through the night. We want to roll for the Outlanders as well as they chase along. Would that be another?
Are they helping with this one or are they helping with the other?
Oh, that's a good question. Are they assisting Luden with this one? Let's just roll yes or no. I got a 5.
8.
No? Okay, so they're helping. So that would be another +1.
Absolutely.
Oh, so that is another +1. So let's take that back. That means that was a 1, a +2 would get a 3, which would be an even. So Luden will blow a fate point. Oh my gosh.
Yes, good.
We're playing a role-playing game.
We're
telling a story. So he blows a fate point for sure. And that will bring it to even. We need to figure out what the complication is.
Maybe the complication is he's getting
or what the cost is
close to the outside of the camp, where it was away from our firelight, where it would be harder to see.
Oh, that's a good cost. That's a good cost, and it's going to, and as we get further away from the camp, the outlanders spread out, which is we're going to lose that negative one. We're going to lose that plus one, so we're going to be back down. Okay, I like that. I like that. So we're stayed even with them.
So we've got two. So two marks now.
Yeah.
Two marks, but we're spread out.
Yeah, but this one, yeah, we'll see how this goes. Darn it, he's now at plus one with that roll. Oh, man, tough times. I don't really want him to get any further away. And I will say the fate point, he spent the fate point on Paladin of Sadara because he's using Detect Evil, and he was able to kind of focus back in at the last minute. That's how he used the last one. I've got two fate points left. I figured they recharged.
Correct.
We had talked about that earlier. Yeah, Luden's too tough for his own good. Would that work?
Yeah, I can't let this guy get away.
This is important. But that's going to bring him to two plus one. So that'll be another succeed with a cost. So he's going to get close. Like, we're going to catch him. He'll blow his second fate point to get close to them. But the cost is the barbarians. There's no other outlanders really around. It's just Luden and Hazo. Maybe two other barbarians that are outlanders that are close. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's good.
So we catch them. So what do we do with them? So we're in the same zone. Do we go to a combat? What actions do our characters want to take? We are in the same zone. We've caught them. It costs two fate points. That could be bad for Luden. What does Hazo do?
Well, I guess is our mission to try and kill him or just capture?
I don't know. We haven't. Don't ask me. That's where we get to decide, right? Like, we've never.
It was all about the chase.
Hazo's the only one that has seen these creatures before. They're kind of like I described in the vision. They're pale gray. They're kind of scrawny. They wear ceremonial clothes. They move very fast. They're kind of lithe and tall and skinny, like tall, skinny grays, right? Gray aliens kind of looking things. And it's scrambling away. We catch up to it. Luden would probably try to run up and tackle it.
Yeah, I think we should tackle it and knock it out.
Okay, so.
And then tie it up. Not kill it, but just bam, hit it with a rock in the head or something.
Okay, let's do this. Let's have Luden try to tackle it. And Hazo, you'll be able to take an action as well. Like, Luden's going to run up and basically try to create the advantage restrained. So he's not going to try to do damage to it. He's going to rush up and do a tackle to try and tackle it around the legs. That is going to be, that's more of a dex check, I think, instead of a strength check, or not.
I think you're right.
Okay. It is a challenge level 3. This could be bad. All right, that's the way it is. So he's going to try and create the advantage restrained on, I think I'm doing this right. And that is, that's exciting. That's a 3, so that is dead even, so that's a boost. So that's a boost of restraint. So he grabs it and maybe only gets like one leg, right? He's barely got a hold of it, but they are both, and maybe it's not even prone. Like, he's prone, but it just sort of like he only gets a leg on it. So it's held down for a moment. What does Hazo do?
Hazo's going to jump off of Tamaska. He's going to have her do the same thing. Like, go grab a hold of it.
Okay.
And hold on to it. Like, help Luden. And I'm going to take the crossbow and jump right in front of his face and say, hold it right there.
Nice. Okay, so let's have...
I don't know what you call that.
Well, I think we could try to pin it, or we could change, or like, try to get the aspect pinned or, like, held in place.
Pinned down. Yeah, I like that.
And then Tamaska could even work off of the boost that I have of Pinned.
Yeah.
So I think that's, is that a Tomasca roll or a roll for you? I think that may be a Tomasca roll.
Okay.
And that's, I would say for her in this case, that's not a dex, that's a strength check.
Okie dokie.
So that's a roll. And then if, depending on the roll, you can always use the boost. What'd she do?
Four pluses.
Oh, God.
So she gets a five. So she's definitely
That's a five.
Succeeded.
If you want to go ahead and use that boost, that would put it up to a seven, which would be against the three challenge rating. That would be a succeed with style.
Yes, let's do it. Let's just say she gets it by the throat.
Oh, God, yeah.
And it's are down and don't even think about going
like
anywhere.
It is pinned down by this wolf and this half-orc that's hanging onto its ankle.
Oh, I like
and it. And the gnome kind of like, you scurry around and while it kind of, it hits the ground, right? Because Tomasca just shakes it to the ground. Hazo kind of skids around in the dirt and just puts a crossbow up to its face. It's like, don't move. That's perfect. I love it. Oh, yeah. I absolutely love it. You know what? We're short on time, so let's just end it there on a cliffhanger.
That's good teamwork right there,
dude. That was rocking. I loved it. Oh man! Yeah. Well, this is a curveball.
Then we'll shout for the other outlanders. So we over here,
and. So we will pick it up next time with the unplanned interrogation of a twisted fae. Holy moly. I did not see this coming, but that's the way it is when you play this game like this. So fun. That's awesome.
Roll with it, baby.
Roll with it. Wildest plus. Oh, man.
It's four pluses for Tomasca.
That was
holy
amazing. Hands down, that was amazing. Go Tomasca. Awesome. Dude, this was great. I loved it. I love this.
Absolutely.
Thanks for playing along. Let's wrap this up, and I'll see you on the next one. We'll figure out what this Twisted Fae has to say for itself.
So much for the peaceful tea time by the fire.
So much for peaceful. We did have that one moment. We had that one little chaos three calm moment that we took advantage of. So we'll remember that always.
Absolutely.
All right.
Sweet.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Hip. I'll see you on the next one. Good roads.
Good roads.
Yeah.